So this week is Thanksgiving, and I heard this story that I think would be appropriate, and I hope none of you have to experience this. There was a woman who was preparing to have her family come over on Wednesday, her brother and his children and his wife, and they were coming on Wednesday, and so she thought to herself, oh man, I need to get out the blow-up mattresses, I need to thaw the turkey. By the way, if you have a turkey of any size, over 5 pounds, you should already be thawing it, right? Okay, so back to the story. She says, I need to thaw the turkey. You know, I just need to go and make a list. And the best place I can go to make a list is Starbucks. So she went off to Starbucks. She got her latte, sat at one of the tables, and began writing her list. I still need cranberry sauce. I still need to get some potatoes. I need butter, sour cream. The blow-up mattresses for my brother and his family. Oh, the Disney DVDs, because we need something appropriate for them to watch. And as she's going through and writing down this list, she gets a phone call. She looks, and she recognizes the number. It's her brother. So she picks up the phone, and he says, hey, sis, I'm here. And she says, you're here? Where are you? We're in your driveway. Where are you? To which she responds, that's not today. You're supposed to come tomorrow. And he said, check your text messages again. I told you Tuesday I will be there. And she says, not today, any day, but today. I have too much to do. I truly pray none of you experience that. That word today appears at the end of our gospel reading, today. This is a word that can be both comforting and challenging. And we'll go through both, the comforting thing about it and the challenging thing about it. Today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday in the liturgical calendar. Next Sunday is the start of the new year, beginning with Advent. The lectionary text chosen for today focus on Jesus Christ as our King. And if you read through our gospel text again, you might say, that doesn't sound like a king. Instead of sitting on the throne in the midst of a palace, Jesus is hanging from a cross. Instead of a herald to announce his presence, there was a sign that read, the King of the Jews. Instead of a gold-plated, jewel-encrusted crown fitted perfectly for his head, there were a crown of thorns that were smashed onto the top of his head. There were soldiers who were present, but instead of protecting him, they instead mocked him and gave him vinegar when he was thirsty. Instead of advisors speaking next to him, he was flanked by criminals. This is unlike any image of a king I have ever seen. Does this match any king you are aware of? And yet, this is vintage Jesus. Jesus never does what we expect, does he? Have you ever read a gospel text and you thought to yourself, oh, I bet I know what Jesus is going to do, and then he does it? Jesus never does what we expect. Think about his birth. He was born in a stable. Anybody expect that? And then he was visited by the lowest of the low in society, by the shepherds. When he was 12, he hung out at church, and his family said, we've got a long way to go, and the family left, and where was Jesus? Still in the temple, still at church. At dinner time, Jesus was always found with people, but not the people you would expect. He was with tax collectors and prostitutes. He was with sinners. And then the best part of it was he decided he needed 12 people to follow him. And you know who he chose? The dimmest 12 people he could find. He didn't go out and find the best and the brightest. He found the worst possible people. And then even on the cross, when he could have done something to save himself, he was Jesus after all, he could have saved himself. And what did he do instead? He chose to die. Jesus is anything but conventional. And this unconventional king, in one of his last acts, he looks at the person next to him. A person who was sentenced to death, a person who knows what he did wrong, a person who was ready to face his punishment. And he promises something that no king could ever deliver. He said, today, you will experience paradise. Today. And what a glorious proclamation that is. This guy was a sinner. He was someone who knows what he did bad. And Jesus tells him, today you will experience paradise. There might be some of us here this morning who you know, the world's falling apart. We know that Christmas is coming, and we look at our bank accounts, and we're just not sure how we're going to make it. There might be some of us here this morning, and we're like, you know, I'm related to Paul, so I have to be here. But man, Paul, if you knew some of the stuff I was doing, you wouldn't invite me here. There might be others of us who say, you don't even know what I'm thinking right now. And if you knew what I was thinking, you wouldn't like me. And to all of us who are fearful, all of us who know our past, all of us who have done bad things, Jesus says, today you can experience salvation. Today you can experience paradise. For it's that moment when we say, I believe, that Jesus says you are free from all of your sins. No matter what you've done, you can be free from them. Jesus says today, if you claim Jesus as Christ, as King, and as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to fear anything anymore. Jesus says, if you claim him and you say the words, I believe, then today you will experience paradise. For some of us, today is that day. And if that day is today for you, I invite you to come and talk to Pastor Claire after worship, who would love to tell you about what today means. You can come and talk to me too, but she's much better at that. How comforting is that? That today could be that special day where in heaven there are angels rejoicing. Today is comforting. Not only is today comforting, but today is also challenging. In the Gospel of Luke, that word today, the Greek word semeron, appears 9 times. And I want to tell you some of those times. In Luke chapter 2, it says, the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, and he said to them, fear not, for I bring you glad tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Right? And then in Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes into the temple and the attendant gives him the scroll and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah. Do you remember? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news, to preach good news to the nations, release to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he hands the scroll back and everyone's on the edge of their seat saying, oh, what's he going to say next? And he says, this has been fulfilled in your hearing today. Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus heals a paralyzed man, and all the people go around town saying, we've witnessed a miracle. You guys are getting really good. We got 2 more. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus was walking along the road, and there was this man of diminutive height who ends up climbing into a tree. You guys know this story, right? Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus was in the tree, and Jesus comes, and he says, what are you doing up there? Come down, for I'm going to your house today. And finally, in our scripture passage for today, Jesus says, you will experience paradise today. Every time Luke uses the word today, it identifies when God's kingdom breaks into this world and comes amongst us. One thing you don't know about my cousin and I is that she has the last name Khalili. And everyone in our family who has that name is known for one trait, procrastination. If something is due tomorrow, we still have tomorrow morning to finish it. Some of us are procrastinators. Some of us, we have other things to do. There's NFL games on today, Jesus. Don't you know that? Sunday is for football. Jesus, you really want me to do this right now? I have to prepare lunch. So many people are coming over. What we find in Luke and what I'm proclaiming to you today is that this word today is the word that describes Christ's kingdom for us. Yes, it could be done tomorrow, but the reason Christ's kingdom proliferates throughout all of history and still stands is because people who claim Christ as king do stuff today. And so here's the question for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your king? Then what are you going to do today? In the Gospel of Matthew, there's a scene where Jesus comes, it's in the future, where Jesus comes in all his glory, and all the nations are there in front of him. And he says, some of you are coming on my right, and you guys are my sheep. Some of you are going to the left. Do you remember that story? And he says to the sheep on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, for you will inherit my kingdom, paradise that has been prepared for you. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you comforted me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. You know what, Jesus? All those things are wonderful. But really, today? And Jesus says, if I'm your king, today is the day. So dear friends, I ask you one more time, if you truly believe that Jesus is your king, what are you going to do today? We have another 15 minutes left in worship, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to invite you to call out something you're going to do differently today because Christ is your king. For now, let us pray. God, thank you for this scripture which invites us to consider that you are our king, and that as our king, you invite us to work to make your kingdom a reality for as many people as we can today. As we continue in worship, as we continue to proclaim you as king, may you call to our memories people that we need to call, people that we need to invite to church, people that we need to go and have a meal with. And most of all, God, may we respond and do it today. In your name, amen.